Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello guys and welcome to another episode. This one is a bit, well, I wouldn't say different, but there's been quite a lot of things going on. Obviously, we was at home against Leeds, away to Newcastle, and we got the Watford game upcoming. We got players out on loan doing bits, women doing bits as well. So there is quite a bit to go on. So strap yourselves in. Joined by Callum as always. So let's just crack on with it. We played Leeds in a bit of a thriller, 3-3. So it feels like a lifetime ago. So I am just going to pretty much gloss over this game, but we'll go into in-depth on the Newcastle being fresh in our heads. So just going into the game, I mean, it was quite a decent lineup. We had Martinez, Cash, Cons and Mings, Lucas Dean, John McGinn, Louise, Ramsey, Buendia, Watkins, Coutinho. So it was quite a strong lineup. On the bench, we saw Chambers come on, but you know, he got into the match day squad for the first time. Chuck Maker was there, Sansa was on the bench, Danny Ings, Tim Ironburnham, Benjamin Crisan was in there as well, for pronounces Ryan, sorry if I butchered it, obviously with Target going out. So it was quite a strong match day squad, in all fairness. But that first half was absolutely insane. You know, first, well, ninth minute, Dan James got a goal. He looked phenomenal for that game. In all honesty, we just struggled to keep him under control. He was brilliant. It was his best game I think I've ever seen him have, which is typical of Villa. Coutinho then popped up, then Ramsey shortly after, then Ramsey again, Dan James just before the halftime break. So there was quite a lot going on in that first half. So what do you think? Because to be fair, like it were as a, you know, somebody who didn't support the side watching that. That would have been a proper game of football. But as a Villa fan, I was shitting myself.
For the first 5 minutes of that game, it was, you know, near enough all Villa. We had three corners in 5 minutes. And then Leeds have gained a corner from a stupidly long run from Elin. Then James then picks up with a goal. The left-hand side of the defence was all over the place. I think Dean had gone to press and it just didn't work, and then Mings went over, and then Conser went over, and then somehow he's put it in the corner. And it was all Leeds really until about the 20th minute, where, you know, it was a bit backwards and forwards. Mings had a header just wide after that. James hit the bar then, which then, funny enough, 2 minutes later we went down the other end and scored with Coutinho. And then it was Ramsey's turn, great ball from Coutinho, with a great run off the ball from Ramsey. Ramsey again with Coutinho. Those two, I'm pretty sure they've contributed to goals for like four goals between them or something like that now. So it's a really weird partnership. If you'd have said to Ramsey a year ago, you're going to be in the first team and you're going to have you're going to have Coutinho next to you providing you assists, and you're going to be doing it to him as well. It's I think he would say you'd be dreaming, or you're on FIFA or something. But unfortunately, the biggest I think goal of the game is Dan James getting a goal just before half time. Cross comes in, it was not cleared, and somehow he's got in between Buendia and Mings to header a ball, which seems, well, on the face of it, impossible, but he's made it possible. And then, you know, Luca Dean, just before half-time, has a chance to make it what would have been 4-2?
4-2.
Yeah. I mean, that's fluffed. It was a real brilliant game for the neutral. And, you know, we go in one goal ahead, but one goal isn't enough in this league. And, you know, we if it has been at half-time 3-1, it's a completely different game in the second half. So it's just, you know, typical Villa, really. We let a goal in and then the pressure's on us to try and keep that goal advantage. And that's how we came out in the second half, really. We didn't really turn up. Leeds came forward. We dropped the line to try and stop their runs in behind, which did isolate James in the second half, which was one thing. But in the other thing, it just allowed more pressure onto the midfield and defence. Just before they scored, Mings clears one off the line with his face. What I noted down was Leeds wanting us to kick the ball out when they had a player down. Remember the Codgers situation at Elland Road? Yeah. I thought that was quite funny because, you know, she was on the other foot this time. I've got nothing good happening for the second half of Villa. It's then from that is the concert sending off.
Yeah, like you say, that second half, I mean, the biggest highlights from a Villa point of view was the red card, which was absolutely shocking. Contra last season doesn't do that, I'm going to say. And then obviously the substitutions of Coutinho going off, which was all worried about Buendia going off, obviously. And then he brought Chambers off as well to... he brought Chambers on for Ramsey, which was obviously because of Konza going off with a red. But that's it, really. There wasn't really... That second half, like... The way that we went in at half-time, I thought, Christ, this is going to be 6-6, 7-7, something. This is going to be absolutely crazy because Leeds always seem to save their best game of the season for us. But that second half was just absolute polar opposite. It was like the whole club had... Well, both sides are pretty much burnt out. But obviously, you know, Mings decided to want to have a third assist of the game and provide an easy goal for Llorente. So... but yeah, I mean, it wasn't the prettiest second half by any of the imaginations, and it kind of questions the reason to not sign a defensive midfielder in January, even if it was just on a short term, whether it was a loan or whatever, because this game kind of called for it. I genuinely think that if we had a fully fit Jedinak in that lineup, we win that game.
Yeah.
We was crying out for it because it was just a hot knife through butter every time they went forward. Okay, fair enough. Sure, on the other four, every time we went forward, and like Ailing against Coutinho was just a nightmare for Ailing. He just got absolutely torn to shreds by Coutinho. Coutinho looked on a different planet. I know people were saying how good Ramsey was, but for me, Coutinho was just putting him on a plate for him over and over again, and it suited him. I mean, if the game carried on, then I think, you know, somebody could have grabbed a winner eventually after probably about 120th minute or something stupid. But that second half compared to the first was just night and day. Obviously, we're not going to do player ratings because obviously it was a while ago. We've got the Newcastle game to talk about and whatnot. So just for this particular game, we're just going to do a good guy, bad guy, you know, who stood out, who wasn't. The best. So yeah, I mean, is there any performers for you, Callum, that was, shall we say, who was the worst? Who was the performers that you think should have done better?
I'll give you two.
Okay. Probably the same as me, but you know.
And it's the two centre-halves, Konsa and Mings.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I gave Mings quite a bit of shit on social media. I was quite full on with him saying how bad he is, but you know, if he has a good game like he did for Newcastle, which we'll touch on later, I'll praise him just as much as I would criticize him if he had a bad game. But yeah, Mings was dreadful. I said he was Leeds' best player, to be honest, because he was just a liability. And then obviously Konza, wow, what can you say? It was just stupid red card. And it was just reckless, to be fair. And obviously we missed him for, you know, the next several games. I mean, I'm going to say a third one, was Watkins as well. He was just invisible. I genuinely think I did more from my sofa than Watkins did. So what about the best performers? I mean, I'm going to guess it's going to be the same again, but yeah, who would you put down as the best?
Yeah, I'll give you two again.
Oh yeah, can I? Yeah.
It'll be Coutinho and Buendia. You know, as soon as them two came off the pitch due to potential injuries, the game definitely changed for us, you know, for the worst. And yeah, you're asking Chukwuemeka to fill in the boots for, you know, the creative spark of Buendia and Ashley Young to be, you know, like an inside winger or an inverted winger, which, you know, he can't do at his age. So when they were taken off, the game was completely different. And, well, actually, no, and Ramsey as well, sorry. Coutinho and Ramsey, not Buendia, because he scored two goals. And, you know, he's now our joint top goal scorer for the season. And, you know, he's made his 50th Villa appearance now against Newcastle. And say he's 20, he's got a long way to go. And, he, you know, you can see people saying, oh, well, he's doing better than Grealish and, oh, he's going to be the next Grealish. Just what, like Steven Gerrard said after the game, he is himself. He is Jacob Ramsey. It's no one else. It's, you know, it's him. And yeah, that's a good mentality which he needs to take forward. Just don't compare himself to anyone else, because he will be the best him there is.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it, because everyone likes to compare somebody. It's happened over every club has it, you know, whether you're a Newcastle fan, he's the next Shearer, you know, they're called Andy Carroll that, and he's the next Xavi or Iniesta if you're there and whatever else. But it's just kind of, it's natural for us to pick somebody who's done very well for the club and then, you know, compare them to them. I agree with yourself that we shouldn't compare players because they are different. But I will say that Ramsey has got a stupidly high ceiling. He can go on to be a very, very top, top player if he continues what he's doing. And when you hear Gerrard say he's the first on the training ground and the last to leave, that's something you love to hear. I do know he's got, 3 years left on his deal. So hopefully they get him tied up, because there's nothing worse than getting a player of a calibre like that down to his final 2 years. And then you're kind of bent over a barrel, because you've either got to sell him, because he'll have, you know, if you don't, then you've got 12 months, he's down to a year, and that's dangerous. Or you beg, steal and borrow to get him to sign a new deal that, you know, could potentially have clauses in, like Grealish did and all that. So personally, he's got 3 years left. This is the perfect time now to get him tied down to a new 5-6 year deal if we can, and then just watch him flourish. I mean, looking on the game itself, it definitely feels like 2 points dropped. I don't know about for you, but for me, I was as for entertainment, it was great, but from, you know, being a Villa fan trying to work our way up the league, it's something we should have put to bed. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I think we always knew that it would be a difficult game anyway, because, you know, Leeds always is, you know,
yeah,
no matter the circumstances. The way that Leeds were, they're missing key players like Bamford and Cooper, Phillips, you know, three massive players in the core of Leeds' team were not there. Especially when you say you've scored three goals at home, you'd assume you take 3 points. But then again, when you say you conceded three goals, you'd probably say, oh, we came away with no points. So it was a bit of a topsy-turvy game. On the face of it, you'd probably say it's 2 points dropped. But if you look at the whole game as a collective, you'd probably say a draw was a fair result, possibly. But if you look at the table and how things were, you'd definitely say it was 2 points dropped.
Moving on to the Newcastle game, because obviously we're going to go a bit more in depth on this one, being fresh and a bit of a pisser, really. The lineup, I mean, I'll read it out what it was. It pretty much was. I mean, there was some doubts, obviously, over Buendia and obviously Konsa being out. So the lineup was Martinez, Cash, Chambers, obviously, who come in for Konsa. Mings, Luca Dean, Jacob Ramsey, Louise McGinn, Buendia, Watkins, and Coutinho. And on the bench, we got to see Leon Bailey basically come back into the fold from his long stint of injury. What do you think of that? Because I wasn't happy with it, if I'm honest.
What, with the lineup?
Yeah.
I don't think where else he could have changed. I was one to keep Watkins in. It was going to be quite similar to the Everton game because we know how physical Newcastle are, and you know the height that they possess. So it was going to be always a game about keeping the ball on the floor. So there was no changes. I was quite happy going in towards the start, being like, okay, this is a team that can create. So hopefully we keep it on the floor and get in behind, nice passing and that. But obviously that didn't happen. But no, I was happy with the lineup.
I know it probably sounds like I'm going to be saying this looking back with 2020 vision, but I wanted Ings to start, if I'm honest. Reason being, Watkins has been poor. Well, he was four games up until this point, or five, including the Newcastle game, without a goal. I know that he's a confidence player, so it probably would have been bad to drop him. But from a team point of view, is, you know, I think you should only be in that lineup if you're playing well, and he isn't. I've said it for a while that he's been one of the worst performers since Gerrard's come in. Now, I don't know if that's because, obviously, we all know Smith was his dad, shall we say. And he's just kind of, I wouldn't say sulking, but missing him or whatever the case may be, and things have changed. But he's been poor. And I genuinely, on a side note, wouldn't be shocked to see him go in the summer. That's just my opinion on that. I want to see Ings come in, and I'm just not sold on Louise at all. And I'm going to keep saying it every week. I don't see him as a six. I don't see him a defensive midfielder. But then when we say, okay, then if he's not a six, he's playing as an eight. Is he going to get in front of McGinn? No. Ramsey? No. For me, doesn't get in front of Sanson either. Chukwuemeka's there. So he's not even at one of our best eights, in my opinion, if you're going to play him there. And play him in that kind of deeper role just isn't for me. And I think Sanson should be given a run of games, which I'm hoping happens from Watford. If not, I don't know what it is with us and French players. We just kind of buy them and then just never use them. Vertut is a prime example of that. And Sanson's turning into another one. So, yeah, for me, those were the two changes I really wanted to see. I wasn't quite understanding the reason behind it. Okay, fair enough. We've scored three at home, like you said. We conceded three, which obviously, as we both agreed, Konsa and Mings was the bad guys in that. But I just kind of felt that the Leeds game especially showed you how weak our midfield was they run through it. So I thought there should have been personnel change. Going into the first half, I mean, Newcastle deserved their goal. I'm not gonna, you know, qualm it. Okay, fair enough. There was a foul to Buendia on the build up to that, which was missed, shockingly. But it was a great free kick. Can't take it away from him at all. And they deserve a goal because that was genuinely the worst first half in the Gerrard era I've seen. And if that was under Smith, there'll be a lot of people calling for his head. I'm not saying we should, because it's not his team yet. He should get a free pass for this season. Obviously, there is, you know, if we lose every game, he should go. But, you know, if we can finish around 12th, 13th, 14th, and he has a big summer, then, you know, he should be given a free pass. But what do you take from that first half? Because I don't really have any highlights at all, other than the fact is we was dominated.
Yeah, the things I put down was the first 25 minutes we were second best, trying to play long ball to a team that has got too much hype for us. You know, Fabian Schär and Dan Burns as centre backs to start off the game. You know, 6 foot six Dan Burns or 6 foot seven Dan Burns and 6 foot whatever, 6 foot four I think Schär is. To try and play over the top balls to Watkins, or, you know, trying to play lofted balls to Watkins was just stupid and impossible. We didn't have Coutinho and Buendia in the game at all. I did think both teams didn't have too many chances, but when Newcastle had chances, they were either getting corners or free kicks or, you know, in penalty, which then got turned over to free kick. They might as well have had a penalty for it, to be honest. You know, it still went in the back of the net, unfortunately. I think it's McGinn Mings and someone else turns around and just looks in horror that Martinez has let it in, being like, oh, what the hell, how have you let that in, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's took a deflection along the way and it's not far out. And, you know, there's a bunch of players in front of you. I don't see how you... Well, there'll be some people that'll be going, oh, I agree, how has Martinez not got that? Then you don't know how to play in goal. So, the first half was poor. It took us to the 56th minute to get a shot on target, and that was Luiz's basically pass back from a free kick, which I don't get why he was on all set pieces today, it seemed. Dang. They were all overhit. Most of his corners were overhit. Most of his free kicks were overhit. And then the shot that he had from the free kick was poor. When you've got Coutinho right next to you, a proven free kick specialist, you know, in three countries, because he did it at Munich. He did it in, well, he has done it with Barcelona on a few occasions, and he's done it with Liverpool. Why not let him take it? They were saying it on commentary. Why don't you let Coutinho take it? And it's just that, I don't know if he's greedy for goals or, you know, he needs something to get his confidence back up or something. I don't know. But I just don't know with that one. And yeah, there was, again, no positives to take from the, well, we were better second half, but that's only because the first half was so poor. We couldn't get any worse, really. I said on the Facebook page that at full time, you know, Gerrard needs to go in and batter him now. You know, he needs to be brutal and honest. He said he's come out and said it's not good enough, and it was the worst performance he's been since he's been in. And you can't blame one player today. That's the problem. You can't say, oh, this person had a bad game or this person gave a goal away. It's a collective, and that's something that Gerrard needs to turn around quickly, because results will continue like the one today, and you know, points won't come and losses will keep on coming. And against the, you know, some of the fixtures that we've got coming up against, they should be easy 3 points. So we need to keep on getting 3 points if we want a top half finish, which, you know, if the way that our recent performances are going, it won't happen. So, you know, if it was Smith still in charge, I don't think he'd get a turnaround. But with it being Gerrard, I think, you know, he's going to put some hard training sessions on and demand the players to, you know, go on a bit of a more of a intense training session, a bit more of a run. You know, you'll push them hard, have a bollock in, probably bring a few players to the side. I think he's already come out and said that there will be changes for the next game. So, you know, no one's place is concrete. You have to earn your place. And he's already said that, you know, that there's youngsters biting at the chance to try and get in his first team. So, you know, it would be nice to see some changes for next game, because then it shows that, you know, if you play bad, then, you know, you're not necessarily out the whole squad, but you're at the starting 11. I think a bit of ruthlessness is definitely needed to show that this certain players, you know, that you are not concrete and you can be replaced, and we will replace you in the starting 11. So We'll see what happens for the next game, I suppose.
Yeah, the one thing that I found very interesting and shocking from us was the fact that they made two defensive changes. They lost Trippier just after the second half started, and just before the first half finished, they lost Manquillo. So they made two subs at the back, and we still struggled. And like you said, it's that first shot was unreal. Douglas Luiz must be peak Ronaldinho in training, because I cannot see what he's bringing on set pieces. I thought it was one of Ultimate Fee's kind of, you know, being a set piece coach. Maybe there's something there a bit different, you know. And obviously, just a side note, I don't know if anybody saw McGinn and Luiz running to each other for one of the set pieces was just comedy gold. For the second half, I've genuinely got nothing. I mean, obviously we got the offside goal, which obviously I want to talk about, which was onside in my opinion. It was level, if anything is level.
You know what the problem, I find the biggest problem with that is that they only have one angle.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, that you normally see about 458 replays.
They had two camera angles, but one was too zoomed in, so you couldn't see Watkins. You could only see the defender. And then you had the really wide shot, where you could see the whole pitch. Surely, yeah, if you had a close-up where both players were in view, which you should have, I think it'd be even closer than what it actually was given for. But I think that's down to St. James's Park, how it's built, because obviously, you know, obviously it's a big stadium, but they should have camera vantage points everywhere, and obviously they don't.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's silly to be a Premier League game and only have two angles, like you said, one too close and one too far. But for me, it was a poor decision. I think it was onside. And it's got to be clear and obvious. Clear and obvious is all you ever hear. I genuinely think it took about, 4 minutes, 5 minutes to double check this. And if you've got to start drawing lines, and I keep saying it, if you've got to start drawing lines, it's not clear and obvious. It's not. I genuinely think there should be something like a rule where you've got 30 seconds to look at something, and then after that time, like, the monitors switch off in the VA, wherever they're watching the VAR, because if you can't tell within 30 seconds, then it's not clear and obvious. You know what I mean? It should be that quick, and then just shuts the screen off, or whatever they use, and that's it. That's all you get. You get 30 seconds to make a decision. If you can't make a decision, then it goes to what the original rule was, which would have been a goal. I mean, for that second half, I've literally got nothing to really say on a positive note. Newcastle deserve the 3 points. Okay, like I said, there was a foul on Buendia on the build-up to the first goal, if you go back and watch it. Watkins' goal should have stood, but we still should not be relying on that performance and that, you know, relying on VAR to do us a favour, to beat a team that, well, I would say relegation candidates, but I think they'll get out of it now. But now we're only 6 points off Newcastle. So in a strange turn of events, this could genuinely be a relegation battle before we know it. If we perform like this against Watford and everyone else is coming after those, we're going to struggle to pick up 3 points. So what do you think? I mean, after obviously the game's finished now, so what's your opinion on it? And because I think there should be a lot of questions held to Gerrard, because I think that was poor.
I mean, going into it, I wasn't confident anyway. I mean, I told you that I wasn't confident before kickoff. And, you know, that's due to, you know, Newcastle having a bit of a bounce. They've spent some money, new manager, etc. They were always going to become a tougher side. And, you know, I think their game would have been tougher if Jamal Lascelles wouldn't have gone down with illness anyway. So we got a bit lucky there that, you know, their best centre-back was missing just before the game anyway. I don't think Gerrard can take all the blame. I know he's come out and said that, you know, he takes full responsibility for it, and he would do because he's a manager and he says the right things. But it's the players on the pitch that he can't control. You know, he can tell them what to do. He can prep them for the game. He can tell them the tactics, but it's up to them to perform it. And they just didn't. You know, there was too many players who didn't play good enough, and it cost us. And maybe Newcastle, if that was at Villa Park, you'd have possibly seen a difference in the performance or the second half. Especially with it being at St James's Park, it was going to benefit them, of course. I just don't think Gerrard can take full blame for it, because I think it's down to the players, or more onto the players than the manager. Manager gets them prepared, sets a tactic and says, oh yeah, this is what we're going to do today. And if the players just don't stick to that, then I don't see that being Gerrard's fault.
Well, I'm not going to sit and blame Gerrard entirely, because that's not fair on him, because obviously he can't really, you know, he doesn't set up to lose, do you know? So you can't. But I think he should. I think the writing's on the wall with the midfield again. Them just not being good enough and not hot knife through butter, and obviously Newcastle fighting for the lives. So it's a tough ask. But I'm going to try and be a bit devil advocate on both sides of the fence. I found it quite strange that all through the game, everyone was saying how flat we were because we were just flat. They said the same about Leeds. And I just think that 3-3 in the middle of the week, where we had literally players dying on the pitch, has affected both sides. You know, because like Leeds took a battering against Everton, who we put to the sword. And you would probably expected Leeds to probably turn them over, in all honesty. And they didn't. And we've struggled as well. And trying to, you know, see, you know, play a bit of devil's advocate, that I think maybe that 3-3 took it out of us more than we realised, which if that is the case, then Gerrard should have changed personnel.
Yeah. But, you know, I thought it was quite bizarre when number seven came up, when Chukwuemeka was coming on, because you never see McGinn come off unless he's... I mean, even if he is on his face, you never see him being subbed off. So, you know, you've probably got a point there with, you know, the game midweek not really helping. And I think it's not helped how we've had 2 weeks off as well. You know, we've become unmatched fit. You know, we were playing games either one a week or two a week, and then we have 2 weeks off. You let some players go abroad to go, you know, help train. You lose that match, and you know, we play behind closed doors friendlies against Brentford and Mulder. It's, you know, it's friendlies. It's not going to do anything, is it? So I think that has got a problem with it, which Gerrard wouldn't have liked, you know, having 2 weeks off. That could be into it, but like you said, having that tough game midweek 3-3, it's probably had a lasting effect on the midfield. So yeah, I can understand, you know, there should have been a squad rotation a little bit, but I think that shows that he doesn't have the confidence in the second squad, or the, you know, the second string, like your Sansons, your Chukwuemekas, Young and whoever. So I get that.
And the ones that I did see, which is absolutely shocking, was Aston Villa lost possession a total 136 times in the game versus Newcastle United. That is genuinely shocking. That I don't even know if there is a worse one than that I've seen all season. Now, the only thing I can think of is the reason why that is so high is because if you watch it, especially in the second half, is you'll see that the players get pulled apart, and you'll see McGinn at some points playing at fullback, randomly enough. And I'm wondering whether he's asked him to do more progressive forward passes, which, okay, I understand that he wants that style of play, but I think Gerrard needs to realise that Luiz and McGinn is not Gerrard and Alonso. They're just not. They're not that level. Now, I'm not going to blame him if that's the route he wants to go down. Great, because that's a brilliant bit of passing. But like I say, when I saw that stat, I was like, that is shocking. And obviously, Gerrard felt the same way, because if you saw his interview, he basically didn't pull any punches. He kind of said that, like you said, that was the worst performance under him. We need to improve and all that collectively, individually, which is great. And he talks a talk, but it's time to walk the walk next week against Watford. Because let's be honest, I'm not trying to compare them, but Tim Sherwood talked a big game. So, you know, let's just hope that Gerrard has more about him and learns from his mistakes, because he is not an experienced manager yet. So, you know, he's learning on the job just as much as some of our players are learning it, being in the Premier League for the first time. But as you said, is as well, he must not have faith in the second team, which brings it back to the point. If that's the case, then big summer ahead. Big, big summer ahead.
Well, definitely.
Player ratings then, before we go into the Watford. So can I have your player ratings for Martinez, Cash, Chambers, Mings and Luca Dean?
I just don't know. If it was after half time, it would definitely be really low. After full time, it would be a bit better. Cash, let's do Martinez first, might as well. Five, I don't actually, well, he made some saves, but you know, I think anyone could save them. Cash, five, really poor first half. Got better second half when he was able to get more space. Chambers, six, decent enough debut, or starting debut, should I say. I thought, you know, near enough, those two are the best players. Mings, six, Dean, five. I thought the fullbacks were extremely poor today, which is a first to say that, you know, Gerrard loves the fullbacks in his formation and his you know, tactical style.
Martinez a five. Didn't really do much of note apart from, you know, like I say, you could probably blame him for the goal, as you said, but again, it's one of those. Took a deflection, could have gone anywhere. Cash, four. I thought he was really poor. He did have a shot at one point that just fizzled across. I don't know what he was trying to do. Chambers, five. It could have easily been a penalty and it would have been a lot. We'd have been a lower rating, but he didn't do too bad, but he did a couple of corners. He did lose Chris Wood a couple of times, obviously to no prevail that he scored. Obviously he didn't. I'm not sure on him as of yet. So, Ryan's, I'm unsure what I think of Chambers at the minute. For a free transfer, it's decent, but yeah, I'm not sure. It wasn't the best of debuts, let's say. Mings, I gave a seven. I thought he was really good. I gave him my man of the match for a Villa player, in all honesty. I slated him for the Leeds one, and I'm going to praise him for this one. There were so many times he put his body on the line, like you said. Like I said, with like some of the sliding tackles I said on social media, on Twitter, some last gas defending. He did really well, really well. And to say he had his shirt literally ripped off his back, credit to him. And Luca Dean, three as well. Ran into Ramsey at one point, probably his biggest highlight of the day. He was really poor. And I'm going to say, like you said about Luiz on the set piece, we got Luca Dean and Coutinho, two top, top set piece takers. Luca Dean's well-renowned, especially from his Everton days. Coutinho from, obviously, Barca days, Liverpool days. He can take a set piece. Why are we relying on Douglas Luiz? I just do not know. So, like I say, it could have been a different matter with him taking them. But
I mean, I know he's scoring off the pitch, but no, you know, on it, but... Different story.
Well done, mate. McGinn, Luiz and Ramsey.
Luiz, three. I see a lot of people come out tonight being like, it's really showing that we're missing
Nakamba.
You know, not signing a replacement in January. It's like we're trying to force Luiz into that defensive midfield role, and it seems like we've always tried to do that, and he likes to play as a little bit higher up, so is that McGinn, possibly one of his worst games in a Villa shirt, four, and then Ramsey, I can't give him any more than a four, so I'll give him a four. You know, you go from 1 week where you were getting assists and two goals from the next week being like you're invisible. So a little bit too much hot and cold.
Honestly, I'm going to give McGinn a three, Louise a minus three, and Ramsey a three. I thought they was poor between them. I thought that was, like I said, the worst first half. Well, the worst 90 minutes in the Gerrard era. And I genuinely think it's down to the midfield. That's causing a lot of the issues like they did in the Leeds game. There's no protection in front of the back four. We pretty much chased Ward-Prowse all summer long, which shows we want a midfielder. We didn't get one. Wasn't even a plan B. There wasn't even like we signed somebody else. Didn't happen. Chase Bissouma all January, didn't happen, and we still didn't sign a midfielder. There was no plan B again. You know, we've gone, what, five windows now without signing a proper defensive midfielder, a Premier League, well, I would say Premier League experience, Premier League, good enough player, and we're going to, you know, go another one. It's just shocking. Yeah, the midfield three, as good as Ramsey's been against Leeds, and he has been, and he still should keep his spot for Watford. The other two, I'm not bothered if they get dropped, if I'm honest. And I'm pretty much think this Louise experiment at number six needs to end. And McGinn, I've been saying it for a while that he's too hot and cold, and finally there are a few people jumping on this bandwagon now that McGinn might not be the be-all and end-all to the midfield. If you look at it as well, our two fullbacks cost more than our midfield today. So that kind of just shows you where we are lacking.
One of them came through the youth team, though.
That is true. That is true.
And one of them was probably the bargain of the century.
Well, I don't know about the bargain of the century, but he is very cheap, and it was a very good deal. But it's still true that our midfield, we've spent less on it than we have on fullbacks. I mean, if you want to throw in Sanson, then we can throw Target in. You know, you're still going to be spending more on fullbacks than we have in midfields. And obviously, midfield is such a key area. And then we kind of, you know, they said, well, it's going to cost 50 mil for Bissouma. And then there was bids of like 32. What for Louise? Don't understand why we didn't let him go, especially if there's installment on his contract, whether that's Gerrard not wanting to give him one or Louise not wanting to sign one. Don't get why we wouldn't just do it and then just put the extra 18 million or whatever it would have been to get him. You know, maybe I'm doing it too simple in Football Manager 2020 terms, but there we are. The front three, please. Buendia, Watkins and little Phil.
Watkins, really unfortunate to not get his goal because it's something that he's definitely
desperate
needed.
For, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. It made him last on the pitch for another, 10 minutes? four for Watkins, three for Buendia. Actually, two for Buendia. You just didn't notice him. And then four for Coutinho.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Phil was trying, like he was dropping out 30-yard passes like they was 1-2 close range. He was pulling out some big passes and he did well, to be fair. I think Buendia got a little jealous because he was trying it and then they just weren't working. So it was a bit of an off day for Buendia, but I'm not going to slate him too much. He is still bedding into this and he's one of the better performers since Gerrard's come in. And then, like you said, on Watkins, he needs a goal. He's desperate. He feeds off confidence. And you know, when I've always said this, if he gets one, he'll score the week after. He's desperate for that goal. I know it was counted offside, but hopefully in his mind, he still counts. And the substitutes, Danny Ings, Leon Bailey and Carney Chukwuemeka.
I thought Bailey didn't do anything when he came on. He got booked for something stupid and then couldn't do anything with the ball. Ings was trying to link up play and Chukwuemeka is being, if in my opinion, he's being picked over Sanson just so he signs a new contract. So I'll give them all nil pois, no points.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Danny Ings should have started. He didn't really offer much, but neither did anybody on the day. So I don't really want him to be wrote off for Watford. I think he should start. Leon Bailey, I think it was just good to see him get some minutes. And Chukwuemeka, as you said, I don't understand what Sanson's got to do to start. I think he'll be gone in the summer. I really do. And I think he'll go elsewhere. He'll smash it. And we'll do what we did with Vertut and go, God, why didn't we keep that lad? And that's where it'll be, because he is a talent and I think he should start instead of Louise against Watford. So, yeah, but for the ratings, I'll go for the same as you. I think it's nil points because none of them did anything of note positive at all. Now, obviously, on a, well, hopefully get 3 points on this one because we've got Watford. Now, obviously, Watford are in a very poor form. They've just got Roy. So, you know, hopefully we can continue the bad run they're having. I think they're probably going to... I wouldn't be surprised to see them last, even with big Roy in. I think Burnley will get some points. So I am going to class these as the worst team in the league. I think it's obviously Burnley have got 2 games in hand. Well, 3 games in hand on Norwich and 2 on Watford. So, yeah, I mean, how do you line up? Do you go more attacking? Do you, you know, try and just shore up the defence and just try and snatch? What? How are you lining up?
Well, I don't think Konsa is able to come back yet.
No, he's not. No, it's not.
So I think the defence picks itself with the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It's going to be that toss-up, isn't it? It's going to be if Gerrard wants to be ruthless and pick either a brand new midfield or change it up slightly. Your only problem is that if Sanson comes in, then you're probably dropping Ramsey or McGinn. You won't drop Louise because Sanson just can't play six and he's never played six. You know, there was talk about, is it Tom O'Reilly? Being with the first team.
Yeah.
So, you know, does he come in? Does Inbergham come in? You know, just Chukwuemeka start. The only thing is, with that middle three that we've got right now in Ramsey, McGinn and Louise, is that there is no one better to replace them at this moment in time. Unless someone was to come in and have a worldie, you know, they are undroppable in my eyes, to be honest. The front three you could possibly change, you know, if you don't want someone running in behind and you want someone to play to feet and link up play, you either pick Ings or Watkins. Possibly you'll see Bailey start, depending on how his fitness is. The only problem with that is that you drop Coutinho or Buendia. So it's going to be a major headache for Gerrard, and he needs to get this one right, because if we drop points against Watford, then the fans will start to turn, and which would be stupid. But that's the problem with our fan base. We are too fickle sometimes. So I generally don't know with the lineup. I can see him making 3 or 4 changes, or he'll keep it exactly the same.
I'm down the route that I think he'll make changes, and I don't agree with it, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Ashley Young start.
Oh, bloody hell.
I really, really would not be shocked to see him start, and I don't know where, but I've just got a sneaky feeling he does turn to him a few times this season, and I think he's going to, and I don't know. I don't know where, but like I say, I'm going to say called it when I see the lineup next on the weekend. But for me, I think I wouldn't change the back four. I think it will be Courtney House is not better than Chambers, let's be honest. So I'm going to leave it as it is. I know we've got a couple of young lads on the bench like that. Iron Burnham on there, which you could probably drop Louise for. But I'm genuinely going to play Sanson in that in the six. I am. I'm going to try him because this Luiz isn't working. I wouldn't mind him playing the kid, playing young Tim. But I think Sanson deserves a run. I think he's brilliant. I think genuinely, a fully fit and firing Sanson's our best midfielder. That's what I'm going to put it on the line and say that. Genuinely, because when I watched it, I knew when we was linked to him, I knew who he was. And I was like, we're just not getting him. And when we got him, I was like, Jesus Christ, how have we done that? And it's mad to think he's not getting him. He can't get minutes. And then playing a kid, as you said, to try and get him a new contract by kind of flirting with him and giving him these minutes that he shouldn't really be getting, because you've got a seasoned midfielder there who's top quality, Champions League experience, and giving it a kid who doesn't really want to be here. Let's be honest, if he was, he would have signed that deal. But that's my rant of Chuckwemaker over. But yeah, like you say, it's going to be interesting if Bailey starts. I don't think he will. I don't. But I think Ollie will get dropped. I think Luiz will get dropped. Gerard seems to have a hard-on for McGinn, so I can't see him getting dropped. And Ramsey, even though he had a bad game, I'm still not dropping him for Chuckwemaker. So probably I'd swap Sanson for Luiz and Danny Ings for Watkins. But I genuinely, if this isn't working early doors, even around, you know, before half term, I'm making changes. If this is nil-nil before 40th minute, I'm changing. And now I know that sounds crazy, but we've seen Bielsa do it against us and it worked. Saw it weren't working, and within 15 minutes he swapped a fullback and they won the game. So it's not illegal. He can do it. Because like you said, if we lose this fixture, then the fan base, like you said, will turn. Yes, it's wrong, but you know what they're like. I know what they're like. They ain't gonna put up with it, and questions will be asked if we don't beat Watford.
Just a word on Watford. They've gained 2 points since the end of November.
Jesus Christ.
Those 2 points were draws against Burnley and Newcastle. And they have played the likes of Brighton, Norwich. They got thumped 3-0 by Norwich the other week. The last time they actually won a game was the 20th of November when they beat United by 4-1.
And they've had about 8 managers since.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a no-brainer. It's got to win.
But Watford can do the double over us.
They can. They beat us on the opening day, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, looking at the, just even looking at the stats, we've won what game is that? 3. We've won 1-6 now. Lost to Brentford 2-1. Lost to Man United. Obviously, that was in the cup. 2-2 in the Premier League. Beat Everton 1-0, which, to be fair, as I said, if they could hit a barn door, they would have beat us then. Leeds 3-3 and Newcastle 1-0 loss. So Gerrard has got his work cut out if he wants to turn this round. Like I say, is there's the literally difference between us and Watford's form is that one win against Everton.
Yeah, I think we've got 11 points out of a possible 30 in the last 10 games.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I know some of the games are against, you know, United, Chelsea, Liverpool, City, but, you know, that's still pretty awful.
Yeah, and it's kind of smelling how the Dino's 5 defeats. The way we've been at Newcastle and Leeds, that was under Dino. That was kind of that time, if that makes sense. Like when we lost 5 on the bench before Gerrard come in, we're kind of playing like that again. And I think Gerrard can see that.
Yeah, it's all right. We've got 13 games left. Technically, we can still finish second.
Well, I love your optimism. So I love your optimism on that. But yeah.
Can't win the league though now, unfortunately.
Well, that's a shame, isn't it? Because I'd love a title run. How do you expect it to go? How do you expect this game to go? Because I genuinely don't know, because I'm still fully behind Gerrard. It'd be stupid not to. But I'm kind of, for me now, this season, we're not gonna finish top eight. That's gone. Let's just forget about it. Well, I don't think we're gonna get relegated. I don't think that's gonna happen. I think the bottom three pretty much will be. You might see, you know, Dino might pull a miracle with Norwich, or Burnley, you know what they're like. They can always up for a scrap, and hopefully it'd be brilliant if we get Newcastle, Everton and Leeds to go. That would be the dream scenario. But this now, for me, is just finish as high as possible, because if we finish 16th, shall we say, there's no way Coutinho is joining us on a permanent. I don't care if his best mate is Gerrard and his missus goes to yoga with his missus. There's no way Coutinho, if he carries on the stormer he's having, is going to join a 16th place Premier League team. He's not. Bissouma won't come. Calvin Phillips won't come. All these names, all these wish list player names will not join Villa if we finish 16th. So this, for me now, is just about pride, finishing as high as possible. I don't even think we'll get top 10, in my opinion. So if we can get 11th or 12th...
I think that's where we'll be.
Yeah, that's where we need to be to get these wish list players to come in. If we don't, then you might as well write off the
Europe for next season.
Yeah, exactly. Because then people will be moaning about Coutinho doing the dirty on us, but you can't really blame him if he's getting offers from... I know there's an option in there, but my understanding of that option is... See, I've been told two different things, that either it's a signed deal by Coutinho, his wages already agreed, we've just got to push the button and he signs. But then I've also heard that basically it's just a fee that's agreed. Once we pay the 33 million, that's what's in the clause, then it's up to us to convince Coutinho to come. And if that is the option, then obviously Spurs, Everton, whoever else wants him, West Ham, and they offer the same amount of money to Barcelona. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're going to get, obviously, have talks with Coutinho just as much. So hopefully it's the first, that it is just literally just a formality of activating. But my whole point now is basically finish the highest we can so we can get these dream players in the summer. So for me, this game has got to go one way, and that is a very big, decent win. This is going to be something that, you know, puts confidence in players. I don't care if we have to get Tyrone Mings to get a hat-trick. It just needs, we need a big win.
Yeah, like I said, we need a win because, well, when you get 30 points, you're near enough there for survival. When you look at the three teams that are in the relegation zone right now, I would say we're fine anyway. We have got a few games in hand on some teams around us. You know, we've actually got two games in hand on Brentford. But the two games in hand is, I believe, Burnley and Leeds.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, one of them, you would say, should be easy. One of them should be, you know, tough. So, swings and roundabouts. If we could nick 10th, that would be great. Because realistically, how long is Southampton and Brighton going to keep on with this good run? I'm surprised to see Wolves are still up there. Would have thought they'd have come down by now. But well, when you look at it, Leicester are not having a good season, are they? Leeds aren't compared to last season. Neither is Everton. So it's all change, which is really, if we can get that 10th spot, that would be nice. Kind of the cherry on top of the cake. But like you said, I can see us finishing 11th or 12th.
That's the thing is, we're 10 points off Wolves in 7th and we're 10 points off bottom three. So we're not going to make Europe and we're not going to make the bottom three. I can't see Norwich, Watford and Burnley gaining 10 points on us and us picking up zero. I just can't see that happening. That'd be a bit of a miracle for that to happen. We are only 6 points off Newcastle, who are 17th. Obviously, you know, we're on the same level points now. Same level of games of 23. So, you know, two games, you know, can change everything. You know, that brings it down. Obviously just goal difference because theirs is shocking in comparison. And but yeah, it's a must-win game. Not because you're going to get sacked, it's a must-win game just for pride and just to get this season kickstart again, like you say, because when we had the international break, the two-week break, sorry, it always goes in the opposite direction for us. If we were on a bad run of form, we come back on better. And then when we're on a good run, we always come back off worse. And this time's kind of worked neither way, really. It's just kind of been bleh, really. It's just not really been anything exciting because, like I say, I know we had Everton, but still, that was because Everton kind of hit barn door, as I said. So before we move on to the next topic, what is your prediction and goal scorers, if you have any?
3-1 Villa, Mings hat trick.
Mings or Ings?
Mings.
Oof, okay. I'll take
because you said it a minute ago. I thought, fuck it.
Oh, fair enough. I'm gonna go 4-1, and I think they'll score first, just to put the shitters up us. And I reckon Watkins will get his goal. And I think it'll be a mixture of Ramsey, Coutinho, and Chambers.
I was gonna say if I was to change mine, I'd put Chambers on the score sheet.
Yeah. Before we go, I know you wanted to quickly let people know about the loan players, because the one positive thing about Aston Villa right now is the kids. And unfortunately, well, it is fortunate and unfortunate, because unfortunately they're not doing it for us, because they are fortunately doing it out on loan. So yeah, so who we got, mate?
Oh, just before we touch on the loans, I just would like to bring up a point that I didn't think we covered earlier about Jacob Ramsey. You know, there was talks apparently Southgate considering him for the next call-up.
Yeah.
Call-up is in 5 months. Sorry, 5 months. 5 weeks' time. And we play in 6 weeks on the day that we're recording. The only problem with that is when you look at the under-21s, which he was in last time for centre midfield, you've got Tom Doyle from Man City out loan at Cardiff doing nothing. Morgan Gibbs-White on loan at Sheffield United doing nothing. Curtis Jones, who's just come back from injury for Liverpool. And there you're four centre midfielders right there. So he's probably got Curtis Jones as, you know, the company for a place in the first team. The problem is the centre midfielders that England have, you know, Declan Rice, Phillips, Foden, Bellingham, Gallagher, Henderson. Are any of them going to drop down or drop out of the squad? Probably not. At the moment, Phillips and Mount are injured, which possibly helps, but it's 5 weeks down the line, so we'll have to see on that one.
Well, that's, to be fair though, as you said, is the Ramsey one is because I worry, right, and it sounds really silly, but I worry when a Villa player gets called up to England, because Grealish got called up, he left. Young got called up, he left. Downing got called up, Milner got called up, Barry got called up. The list is endless. It's a curse.
Yeah, but Mings and Watkins haven't gone yet.
No, true. I think we'll be saying the same about Watkins in the summer, in my opinion. I think he'll be gone. I'm desperate for Konsa to become Portuguese. And obviously, Cash has done us a favour going to Poland. I can't see Lewandowski. Well, then again, I suppose Atletico Madrid are tapping him up. So I don't know if there's any Polish Atletico Madrid players in there, but they can fuck off. I don't like Villa players getting called up to England. I'm sorry. I just don't. Any other ones? Because I know, obviously, Archer's smashing it out there as well, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I'm going to go into the loan deals now. It's not in any order, but first of all is Trezeguet, plays 77 minutes for his Turkish side, Istanbul Beşiktaş, get an assist in a 2-0 win. He's already got one assist to his name, where he's only got five at Villa with 64 games played. So, you know, there's one gone. Louis Barry was taken from Ipswich to be loaned back out to Swindon, league below, but he's had three appearances already for them for Swindon. He played 88 minutes at the weekend. Apparently had a good game. Nothing to show for it there at the moment, though. Unfortunately, said no goals, no assists. I think he's being messed around a little bit, unfortunately. I think Ipswich have done him over. Next is Kane Kessler-Hayden. Superb at Swindon, you know, massively raved about. He's gone up a division to MK Dons. He's not having a lot of minutes, unfortunately, at the moment. I think he's having to prove his worth to get into the, into that team. But he's had one appearance of 72 minutes in a 1-1 draw against Fleetwood as like a right wing back in a five. So hopefully he's going to get more minutes. He's had two bench appearances, so to speak. Next is Cameron Archer, probably the one who's getting all the limelight right now. Scored again this weekend against Peterborough. He scored three goals in five games in the Championship. And two of those goals have been the winning goals in 2-1-0 wins over Hull and Peterborough. And the reports and talks out of Peterborough is, you know, sky high, the reviews being said about Cameron Archer. And his goal against Peterborough was absolutely phenomenal as well. I don't even know which foot he is, but after seeing that, it makes me think he's left-footed. I think he will go with the England under-20s again, just like Kane Kessler. So obviously they're getting noted by Youth England levels. Jane Philogene Bidace is next, and he's having a fantastic time out at Stoke. Reports again, Stoke and the fans love him. He's finally got a goal to his name. He's had three 90-minute appearances in a row against Huddersfield, Swansea and Forest. He's had some brilliant shots. You know, he's been unlucky to not have about three goals to his name. And again, another player who should go with England's under-20s. Jed Steer, unfortunately, has only made one appearance for Luton at the moment, and that was in the FA Cup. Kept a clean sheet, 90 minutes, as you would assume. I would have liked to have him to have played at the weekend because they played Blues. Didn't, was on the bench and lost 3-0. That's why you need to play Jed Steer, lads. You need to play Jed Steer and you'll win games. Luton Town. Keenan Davis, it seems like our strikers are the ones doing really well at the moment. he's scored two goals in eight, in all competitions, but two assists. Highlights was the game against Leicester in the Cup. He nearly scored an absolute worldie of a goal, but he's coming back to his best, getting more minutes under his belt. And with Lewis Grabban injured at the moment, it's him and Sam Sturridge, the two strikers at the moment, and he's been the one to get the most minutes so far. So hopefully that can continue and hopefully he can keep his game up and going. I've got actually Conor Hourihan here, who hasn't been really involved in the Sheffield United team. Might be just out there because they're paying a bit of his wages and his contract's up at the end of the season. So it's a bit of a shame that he'll go out like that. Freddie Gilbert, any fans of FIFA will know that he got in the team of the week either this week or last week. Playing brilliantly well in Ligue 1, which he might stay out there. Who knows at this moment in time. You know, there's a lot of Villa fans that would want him back. There's a lot of Villa fans that just say, oh, let's cash in for him. It would be a shame, but I think Strasbourg would like to keep him on a permanent deal after having him for the second time on loan. Three assists from right-back this season with 21 games played. It's not a bad return for a right-back for a mediocre French club. Wesley, a man that people keep forgetting, he's only played actually two games for Club Sport International. He's had one goal and I don't know why, but he's not been in the squad for four games in the last six. So if he can't do it out there, we might as well just cash in. Matt Target didn't play against us because he's ineligible, but had a very good game against Everton when they won 3-1. Dominic Revan, we're getting into the really lower ones now. Dominic Revan on loan at Northampton, not playing many minutes, unfortunately. So it might be a waste of a loan. So Jednak needs to get his notepad out and be like, oh, well, this needs to be sorted. Aaron Ramsey, the younger brother of Jacob, getting some minutes finally with Cheltenham Town. He's, I think the last game he had played really well. He's played yeah, 90 minutes against Fleetwood in a 2-0 win. And he's also been involved in a 2-1 win over Sunderland. So Cheltenham are on the up with him in the team. Aaron Rakey with Grimsby now. Same division, unfortunately, where with him being at Stockport at the start of this season. He's already played more in 4 games than he did for Stockport in 7. So that shows you the treatment that he had there. Glowing reports out of Grimsby about him when he's played a lot of minutes. They beat Notts County, a playoff rival. So he's been getting minutes there. We'll leave that one to the last. And Philip Marshall, young goalkeeper, probably about 5th or 6th choice at the moment. He's gone out to Gateshead. He's had one bad game, losing 3-0, and he's had one good game, winning 3-0. So you take of that what you will. And the final one for the loans to wrap it up, and probably the one who's been the most unsuccessful so far, because he got subbed on and then subbed off again in the same match for about 17 minutes. That's Caleb Chukwuemeka. I think he had 17 minutes on for Livingston, then got taken off for, in commas, tactical change. So I don't think Villa are happy with his involvement up in Scotland. And that wraps up every loan player out at the moment.
Well, that's quite, to be fair, with the Caleb Chukwuemeka, I genuinely thought, again, trying to, you know, to show Carney what we've got, is I think he was literally signed just to convince his brother to stay. That's what I think.
It would have been a nice thing to be like, oh, my brother needs a team. He's going to get let go by Northampton. Yeah, we know why he's going to get left by Northampton, because he's awful.
Exactly. And that's where he got brought. And then Carney to do the dirty and leave. He's not in my best books. Signs that new 5-year deal, then, you know, we'll talk about him in more positive light. But until then, I'm not going to. And yeah, it's quite shocking to think that Keenan Davis probably is something that we'd actually need right now. Can't believe I'm saying that. Somebody can hold the ball up.
I reckon he could be like Heskey.
Yeah, that's exactly, to be fair, that's exactly what he is. Can't hit a barn door, but he can hold the ball up, get people into play. And to be fair,
and sometimes score a wonder goal.
Yeah, and then have the likes of Coutinho, Buendia and Ramsey all in fire form, and then obviously Bale and Traore to come back. He probably fit really well, to be fair, right now, shockingly. But then again, I think, like as I said, I think I'm doing more than Watkins is doing at the moment. And Archer is looking... I mean, if you said to me, Archer or Barry for the most prolific naturals goal scorer, obviously Archer. I would have gone Barry at the time, especially after his goal against Liverpool. But Archer is absolutely pulling up trees, and definitely one for the future. And I genuinely think that next season... I think he's going to be in that first team. I really, really do, because we do love a kid coming through. You know, there's quite a few in that first team now. Even if they're not making the match day squad, he just says Tom O'Reilly's there. You're going to see these players coming in, and Gerard likes to put the youth in. So, yeah, it's going to be great. And every Villa fan loves one of their own. So he'll be given a lot of time to perform. But it's crazy to think, just listen to how many players that you've just said, how many we've got out on loan. It's crazy how many's out there, but it's only a good thing. I've seen a few people say we should call Archer back and Davies back, but if they're smashing it, why? Do you know what I mean? Surely Watkins and Ings will both come, you know, England internationals. You know, Ings has got a ridiculous record, especially at Southampton. They'll come good. It, you know, there's no point upsetting the apple cart when they're doing so well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just briefly touch on Archer there. Every time he scored, Preston have won. So, you know, I was surprised that he got a championship move. But, you know, he's proving quite a lot of people wrong. And, you know, when you take 3 points off Baggies, we'll take that any day.
Definitely, 100%. And just before we go, I know you want to just quickly touch on the women's.
Yeah, they've had a rocky few weeks, really. You know, they got thumped back-to-back by Man United and Man City, but that's kind of expected at this point. Beat bottom of the league at the time, Leicester, by a late winner, by Dougie's missus. knocked out of the cup by Chelsea, but that was always going to happen. We had a bad performance against West Ham. It was an even game, but West Ham took their chances. If we would have to draw that or to win that, we would have looked in a very good position. But we turned it around with a win against Everton today, who we actually play next in, I think, 3 weeks' time. I think they've got an international break right now. But when you look at the last few games of the season, they are probably four at the eight available to win. You've got Chelsea, Spurs, United and Arsenal still to play. Really tough fixtures. And the final game of the season, which I hope, if it doesn't clash with the first team, is at Villa Park. Because at the moment, Birmingham will go down because they are 7 points behind Everton in 11th. So, 16 points for the women's team so far. We've actually got a game in hand on the team above and the team below. You see, we could go on to 19 and be joint eighth with Brighton. But it just seems that this season that there's five teams going for the title, which I don't think has happened for a long time. It's always just been like Man City and Chelsea. But you've got Man City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs and United. Even Reading. And to be fair, we are 6 points off six. And that would be some achievement, because you'd say sixth is the top of
the rest,
I think. Yeah, best of the rest. So, we're going in the right way. And as long as we can stay in this division, it'd be fantastic for the women's team, and also to knock Blues down to the second division. That'd be even better.
Well, there you go, guys. We have covered everything, as we always do on the new weekly show that we do. So just to recap, we have touched on the Leeds game, Newcastle game, the Watford game, talked about some players in depth like Ramsey and his contract situation, and talked about all the players out on loan and the women's team. So hopefully that's enough content to keep you covered for a week. We will be back after the Watford game to review that and preview the next one, and obviously anything else that happens in the wonderful world of Aston Villa. So, as always, thank you guys for listening. Up the Villa.